7.
The Inner Sanctum.
Murphy, he keeps the Blues alive. That is a brilliant kick. He's nailed it, the skipper.
On his way to Princes Park, Carlton captain Mark Murphy.
Oh, yes, we are the Navy Blues. Mark Murphy, and big hugs from Mickey McGuan to former Carlton great Mickey, and, of course, current captain, just embracing with the Carlton spirit. Fantastic work. He's with us in the Inner Sanctum. Great to have him here, Mark. Welcome, mate, and congratulations. 4 in a row.
Yeah, thanks, Chriso. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's always good to walk in the studio after a win. Yeah, so 4 in a row, good to embrace a former Carlton player and big Mickey McGuire.
if you're not falling into him, mate, what a result it was.
Oh, yeah, it was a ripper. I mean, probably one of the better wins I've been involved with for quite a few years. To win for Jamo's 150th and Simo's 250th, a big milestone, a player that I love playing with, and is certainly as courageous as they come. So for the boys to dig deep and to get a win for him, as well as get the 4 points, obviously, it was a huge night for the club.
Now, the first win of this 4 in a row was against Fremantle. Did you have to learn the words to the song again, mate? Or
I've been around for a few years now, so I remember the words pretty well.
I mean, the euphoria after the win on Sunday was just, you've been involved in some great wins, but where does that one rank?
Yeah, it ranks right up there. Obviously, the finals wins that we've had, obviously, they stand out. We've had that big one against Richmond in that final,
yes,
where we came back. But, yeah, like to win 4 in a row, I think, is a really good sign of maturity with the group. And to do it the way we did, to come back from probably being almost down and out for, I think, we were 3 goals down with about 7 or 8 minutes to go.
Correct.
And to... We stuck to our processes, and we trained heavily over the pre-season about scenarios, about what to do in certain scenarios, and we did a lot of things well in that time. So I think that's a really pleasing part from us.
Does someone call that? You talk about a scenario. Does someone call? Have you got a name for that scenario? And who's the catalyst to actually enact it?
Yeah, we have certain calls for scenarios. I think it's more identifying the time in which is left in the game and for where we're at and some of the positional changes that are required in that time. But just the way in terms of trying to move the ball, depending on if we're up or we're down.
Down,
so
yeah.
I think we've had a few instances like that over the last few weeks. I think against Fremantle, we obviously had to try and hold on to the game and went into a certain play that we try and obviously slow the ball down and control the football. So, yeah, there's some scenarios that we've been training over the pre-season that are starting to come out in our football, which is really good to see.
Because I suppose you had two scenarios. You were down, I think, 17 points with 7 or 8 minutes to go, so you had to kick 3 quick goals, but then you're in front with 2 minutes to go, so then you had to completely change way you played.
Yeah, so then it changes, obviously, to the scenario which you'd like to be involved with, which is obviously being in front and trying to hold on. And, the boys did that pretty well on the weekend.
What effect has Brendan Bolton had on this group?
Huge. As well as the other coaching staff that he's brought along with him. He's instilled a lot of confidence and belief within the group. And I think from only being involved with him for probably 7 or 8 months now, I've felt like I've been working with him for years. He's makes playing football pretty simple, keeps it clear. You know where you stand with him. He's always asking for feedback about what he can get better at. His inclusiveness of...
Is that to you as captain, or is that to the senior leaders or the group itself in terms of seeking feedback for him?
I think probably more the senior leaders.
Yeah.
So he's certainly big on not having any hierarchy within the group, which is important. So the boys really relate to that, feeling really comfortable in giving him honest feedback of what he can improve.
Is there things that you've gone back to him and said, well, I think you can improve in this area?
Yeah, yep.
Like what?
Oh, we're not releasing all that in the Inner Sanctum, although we are on the Inner Sanctum here at 927. But look, just in terms about some of the messages during the game, leading up to game, about what we feel as a group, what we want to really focus on. He really drives that and runs with that, which the boys really enjoy. And he gives us honest feedback. So I think having that honest feedback two ways is really important for a playing group really wanting to grow together.
Can you remember day one, Murph, when he walked in? And what was his message, if you can?
I think it was more just about being a united group and removing what's happened in the past and going forward with a new Carlton. And everyone had a clean slate. So whether you had played 200 games or you hadn't played a game, everyone was on a level playing field, and it's about starting your reputation from there. So I think the guys really enjoyed that. Starting from scratch and really trying to prove who you are as an individual and what you stand for, I think was really important. And he came in first day and said, "Oh, everyone, clean slate. Let's go from here and work hard and improve together."
And then obviously strip it right back to fundamentals, but also system.
Yeah.
How quick did you get into the new system?
Oh, from day one.
And that was a learning education, obviously.
Yeah, a lot of learning. I'd never put in as many hours as what I'd had over the preseason in terms of just learning new structures, the way in which we want to play.
And were they complicated to you, experienced player, but also younger players?
Oh, not complicated, but it was a fair bit involved, but it was pretty simple to understand about trying to draw from also from other sports about what they do, trying to include into our own. So it wasn't just all about football. You could actually learn from other sports, which I think is really good to learn from, and makes it fresh and exciting to do. So it was more just about going over the basics quite a lot. So always making those things front of mind, which I think is really important. And once you do that, it becomes habitual. So that's something that I think I've really enjoyed and the playing group has as well.
Mark Murphy is with us, the Carlton captain, in the Inner Sanctum. Mark, just want to ask about, you talk about learning new structures. Was it more, in terms of the biggest difference to what you've had in the past, was it offence or defence that you had to make the biggest changes to Brendan Bolton's way of doing things?
Oh, the whole thing, I think, defensively, offensively, it's stoppages. Those are the three main areas that you look at. So, yeah, it wasn't just all about defence, or it wasn't about just offence. It was the combination of the three, as well as stoppages, as I said. So, it was all of those all coming together and not just focusing on one really heavily.
But was it starkly different in all three areas to what you've had previously under other coaches?
It was just a new way of thinking about what to do in certain situations and certain areas of the ground and what's required in it. Just subtle differences to little things that obviously make big differences. So it wasn't anything hugely different than what you do playing football. Like, football's a pretty simple game at times. So when reinventing the wheel, so to speak, was more just about focusing on certain things that are really going to take us forward.
He appears to be a person that not only coaches but also manages. Does he build relationships really quickly, and is that a part of his portfolio that he wants to make sure he's got good relationships with his players?
Yeah, I think that's almost one of his biggest
strengths
is the fact that he's willing to build those relationships. Because if you don't have a relationship, you can't really have the hard conversations with blokes about their football. So he invests a lot of time in the playing group. He's always trying to get in blokes into his office to have a chat about life outside of football as best he can. But his coaches underneath him do that as well. So it's hard for a senior coach to get around 46 blokes in a week. So he relies pretty heavily on the guys underneath him, and they're all on the same page, which is really important. So you're not getting mixed messages at all. I think the way in which he's coaching the coaches has been really impressive as well. So he's got a full understanding of how his players are going, and they're in a really good headspace.
That's something I've noticed ever since you've been coming in, mate, from the start of the year. You've always thrown in the assistant coaches and the role that they play. So, and you touched on it there, but how much work do you reckon that the coaching group have done together, even off-site, to ensure that they are all on the same page? Have you noticed, or do you know whether that's been a real focus?
Oh, a huge amount. I've got really good relationships with all the coaches, but I suppose, Johnny Barker and Matty Capuano are the two that stayed on from last year. And just talking to them about how many hours they're putting in, talking about the game, doing reviews, looking forward to the next game, talking as a whole coaching staff about what the messages are going forward for the week. They're putting in an enormous amount of time, so they are all on that same page. And we're getting the benefits from that. So blokes aren't going into games clouded. They know exactly what their role requires. And you're getting good results because blokes go out there and start to play on instinct a bit more.
Yeah, that's interesting. Is there many message changes week to week?
You certainly adjust like every team would. When you come up against different sides, they like to play a different way. So you've got to slightly change things, but you don't ultimately go away from your bigger game plan. But there is things that might change from week to week depending on who you play. If they're a one-on-one side or the pressing side, or so there are little tiny things that you do adjust. So that'll start from today. Once we get into the club, we'll finish off our review from the weekend and then look towards North Melbourne and see what they do really well. And that's sort of the program from here on in this week.
We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Mark Murphy, the Carlton captain, with us right through until 8 o'clock. It's a quarter to 8. Face when I'm with you. 11 to 8, RSN 927 Sports Heaven. Melbourne looking for a top of 19 degrees today, mostly sunny, currently 15 degrees. Great to have Mark Murphy, the Carlton captain, with us in the inner sanctum. And Mark, heading to what's a massive game Saturday night against North Melbourne. And unfortunately, you're going to have a couple of your big blokes missing. Matthew Cruiser, who was brave on Sunday, kicked the winning goal and has succumbed to a knee injury, and Levi Casbolt in trouble as well. It's going to be a couple of blokes going to be hard to cover.
Yeah, it is. They are two big losses for us. I think initially when I saw Levi go down, I thought the worst. I thought that was an ACL. So I think from that point of view, to miss 2 months is really a good result for us, from what it looked like. And obviously, big Cruiser is really unfortunate in missing probably the next 3 or 4 weeks with that knee. So those are gaps we'll have to fill, but. I've got confidence that blokes coming in can fill that those roles and get the job done for our side and play a role.
Carlton supporters know what you'll get from Cameron Wood, but Carlton people don't know what you'll get from Daniel Gorringe. Is he a chance? Obviously, he's been at Gold Coast 5 years, played 20-plus games, hasn't played a game at the Blues yet. Is he a likely candidate this week to replace Cruise?
I'm not too sure. We haven't had our discussion with Bolts about the game going forward this week, so we'll do that today. But it is a void with Cruz going down. But I think whether or not one of those two comes in or Rowie will step up and try and play in the ruck, which he did for most of part of the night on Sunday. We'll have to work that out and see what the best way forward is in terms of team balance.
And the other dilemma is obviously North's talls. Rowe can go back. But Jacob Wiedering, will he come back in? Is his shoulder ready? I suppose it's a real gutsy decision to bring him back that 1 week early. Could be detrimental to his future in a way.
Yeah, well, it is. And I think the club definitely won't take any risks. So if he's even a slight a concern or doubt in the way his shoulder is, then he won't play because he's a really important long-term player for us. But we've got our main session tomorrow, so we'll know more then. But he trained last week and I think he did some contact work the other day, so whether or not he'll play, we'll have to wait till later in the week.
So if he doesn't come up, does Christian Jacks get another opportunity?
Yeah, well, there's some guys down there who've been playing some okay footy. Whether or not KJ will come in or not, his body's fine. I think he's been stringing some okay performances together at VFL level. But we'll have to wait and see in terms of that team balance about who we play in the ruck and how we go from our back positioning with our tools.
Obviously, a couple of young boys are still on the sidelines. Can you give us an update there? Charlie Curnow has got glandular fever, is that right?
Yeah, so he's got glandular. So he's just I think he's away from the club at the moment. So he's just trying to get healthy again. He's had a bit of a bad run with that the last couple of weeks. So yeah, I think we'll reevaluate that over the next probably 3 to 4 weeks. Who else is there?
There's Harry McKay.
Harry McKay's he's on long term, so he's coming from a back injury. So he's running at the moment, so he's back out there doing some light ball work, but mainly running at the moment. So he's still a fair way off.
Mark, just want to change tact and talk about the broader game. And the, of course, CBA agreement is currently being negotiated with the players. There's talk that players are looking for a set percentage of revenue. Is that something that you think might carry all the way? And there has been, and there always is this time of a negotiation, talk of strike action, and whether if the players don't get what they want, that's a possibility. What's your overall take on what's happening with this CBA?
Well, I think it's only...
Bearing in mind that your brother's second in charge at the Players Association.
He should have briefed me in the morning before I come here. I think it's only in its initial stages. So I think they're in meetings at the moment with the AFL. Hopefully they can work that out in the next coming months. I think the AFL is pretty keen to do a deal from hearing Gillen last week. But I think it's important that players go for that percentage share, because I think we certainly add a lot to the game, obviously, with the way we play, but we also do a lot of work in terms of development within the community, growing the game as well. So I think for players to get that percentage share gives them more incentive to try and grow the game, which I think is really important.
Yeah, I agree. It's more important, certainly, to provide that incentive. My only concern with the fixed percentage is if we get to a time in the future where the game isn't looking so good and we do take a dip, does that mean you get less?
Yeah, well, I suppose it does. Yeah. So that's the...
Happy to take that on the chin.
Happy to cock that on the chin. So I can't say that happening in the next foreseeable future, but those are the risks that if the game somehow does drop in terms of the money coming in, that we cop a hit as well. But I think the players back themselves in to put on a pretty good show, and the AFL would as well. So, yeah.
How do you get involved? Not necessarily you personally, but how involved do the players get? I mean, is it just something that the Players Association, you give them the authority, of course, to handle on your behalf, but do you keep tabs of it? Do you keep involved? Want to know what's going on?
I think the guys who have been around for a few years are more interested in what's going on. Obviously, the younger guys,
couldn't care less.
way out of their mindset about what the game is earning. For them going down the track, they're more worried about trying to get games and enjoying playing AFL football. But for the guys who've been around for a while that feel that it's really important to look after the guys coming into the game in the future, get looked after in the right way, because guys are putting their bodies on the line week in, week out, and I think they deserve to get paid pretty well to do that.
Yeah, no disagreement there. Now, want to get to a very interesting topic that's very close to your heart, your helmet.
Yeah.
Now, since you started wearing the helmet, mate.
The greyhound.
Well, we can talk about that as well. But you started wearing it, and you won against Fremantle, and you've worn it for the last 4 weeks, and you've won every game. Now, you did it because you copped that. You showed us when you came in 4 weeks ago how bad that cut was on your head. How many staples? 25 staples?
No, not 25. You can run with 25.
Okay.
No, it was 12, so it was about a 10-centimetre.
About a 10-centimetre. It was fair gash. So what do you do now with the helmet, mate? You've been winning wearing the helmet. First question is, do you have to wear it? Are you compelled with that hit on your head that you have to wear it, or is it up to you?
At the moment, it's still a little bit soft, the opening, so I've still got a few scabs still on the cut. The doctor wants me to wear it for the rest of my career, considering I've had a few head knocks. So I'm not sure if he's just being cautious or not. And then the other fact is that we're 4-0, and Bolts did allude to it during the week last week. That, we're 3-0 with the helmet, so you better keep on going. So,
Murph, how serious are you taking that advice from the doctor?
Pretty serious. I think... I had a cheekbone 3 years ago.
3 years ago, yeah.
I had a bad concussion over in Port Adelaide in 2014, which threw me around for a good couple of weeks. It was the second last game of the year, and I was no chance to play the following week. And I I watched a whole series of Suits the week after and couldn't remember a thing what I watched, so I had to watch it again.
Wow.
after that. So look, I've had a couple of head knocks. So look, that was concerning at the time, but lucky that was the end of the season, so I was able to
get your faculties back.
Yeah, so and didn't have to try and front it the next week and play. So from that point of view, it was probably a good result that it was. We weren't playing finals at the time, and that I could have obviously the whole pre-season off. But yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm sort of weighing up at the moment whether or not to keep wearing it, just so.
Well, mate,
it does reduce some winning, sort of impact.
Anyway. You're winning, so just keep wearing it. Yeah, you're winning, keep wearing it. Good on you, mate.
Health's your wealth too, mate.
Yep.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming in again, mate. Great to talk, and well done on your form the last month. It's been outstanding, and good luck against North Melbourne Saturday night.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Mick.
See you, buddy.
Mark Murphy, the Carlton captain with us, RSN 927 Sports 7. It's 2-8.